Good afternoon. My name is Steve Luckaball, and I'd like to welcome you to the Social Media for Sustainability Community of Practice number 4 webinar, Implementation of Social Media Marketing Strategies for Codman Square Health Center. This webinar is brought to you by the Partnerships for Care, HIV Training, Technical Assistance and Collaboration Center, HIV TAC. The Partnerships for Care project is a 3-year multi-agency project funded by the Secretary's Minority AIDS Initiative Fund and the Affordable Care Act. The goals of the project are to expand provision of HIV testing, prevention, care, and treatment in health centers serving communities highly impacted by HIV, to build sustainable partnerships between health centers and their state health department, and to improve health outcomes among people living with HIV, especially among racial and ethnic minorities. The project is supported by the HIV Training, Technical Assistance, and Collaboration Center, HIV TAC. At this time, I'd like to turn it over to Carlos Morales for some opening comments before we begin with our main speaker for today. So, Carlos?
Thank you, Steve. Hello, everyone, and thank you for being here today. This is our last webinar of our webinar series that we've been running for the last few weeks on social media. This webinar is on social media for sustainability. And so, today is somewhat of a different and unique webinar because you're going to actually have the perspective of someone who actually does this on a daily basis in terms of managing a social media presence for a community health center. So I'm very excited about this webinar. And when you look at the objectives, these are some of the things that it will be discussed. And number one is we're putting everything together. All the things that you've learned in the last 3 webinars, you know, you're going to actually see now how it's being implemented in real life. And so, you know, putting everything, you know, we're talking about strategy, content, and online paid advertising. You're going to get to hear that and how is that actually being implemented. You know, why it's important to invest in social media and how in the long run can actually benefit your health center as well. So knowing your objectives is key, as you already know, and we've discussed that in the previous webinars. And so you're going to learn about that as well. And, you know, what are the benefits actually are failing fast, right? What are the benefits actually of not having success at the beginning? And so, you know, making social media management sustainable. How do we make sure that we actually are being able to do this, being consistent and do it on a daily basis? And then we'll talk about building one large strategy across departments and accounts. And so our presenter today is going to give you more details in each of these objectives, but I wanted to sort of actually mention them to you so you know what to expect in the next hour and a half. And so basically what I'm going to do for the next few minutes, just a few minutes, we're going to be actually talking about developing your social media strategy. So I'm going to be summarizing the stuff that we talked about in the last three webinars. So as you know, it's important to have a strategy. It's important to actually have a piece of paper, something that you have written down, because that's going to be your roadmap. That's going to be your guide in how you're actually going to manage your social media presence, right? And so we talk about conducting a social media audit. So meaning that, okay, so what are the social media channels that we have right now? You know, whether Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, sort of actually listing all those things. So because you got to have an idea of what is it that you have. And then, you know, based on that, you got to know which one actually will make sense to use or more, you know, put more emphasis on based on the audience that you want to reach. So again, establishing your healthcare center or program goals and objectives, that's part of your strategy as well, because you want to be able to actually know exactly what you want to achieve. Then based on that, you develop a content strategy, right? So what type of content? This is something that we talked about in the last webinar. We talked about content marketing, and we talked about, you know, the different pieces of content that you can develop, whether it's video, whether it's articles, whether it's a Facebook live stream. So whether you want to use testimonials from the clients that you're serving. So those are different types of content. So you got to be able to, as you're developing your content strategy, know exactly which one you want to use based on the goal that you want to achieve. Now, once we do all that and we start implementing that piece, then we actually start talking about social media analytics. Because as you are implementing that, and as you'll see during this webinar, you'll get to look at the data. And the data is going to tell you if what you're doing is working or not. The nice thing about it, because the data is real time, you can actually change and adjust accordingly. And so that's basically what developing a social media strategy is all about. If you're having success, if you're having actually good results, well, what can we do to even make it better, right? That's when we actually talk about building your success. Pretty much this is what we talked about in the last 3 webinars. You know, when we talk about creating a digital marketing campaign, I just wanted to touch base in these 4 components that we have here. First of all, you know, if we go and talk about your audience, you know, you got to know who your audience is. And this is something that as we are sort of actually putting everything together, creating a plan, we have to be very clear on who your audience is. And we talked a little bit about this in terms of, You know, it goes beyond the age range. It goes beyond whether it's male or female. It has to be more about also the online behavior, right? In the interest that they have, because you want to be able to speak their language. And so knowing that, it's key. Knowing that, you know, it will, in terms of actually developing your audio profile, it will actually guide the content that you want to create. Remember that at the end of the day, what we actually do is moving our audience from awareness to action, right? We want to educate them in a specific topic. We want to be able to say that the services that we're providing are services that can help them. But, you know, there's an education process. But at the end of the day, though, you want them to actually take a specific action, whether that action is for them to make a phone call, for them to actually give you their name or email address, for them to make an appointment. Whatever that action is, it has to be clear. But there is a process, and you want to speak to your audience. The more you know about your audience, the better. In terms of your campaign goals, that actually is developed in your social media strategy plan. Remember that, you know, we went over this. You guys have a social media strategy plan worksheet in which, as you're filling that out, you're actually stating your goals. You're stating your campaign goals. You're stating basically who is it that you want to reach. If you want to actually increase the number of fans to your fan page, you want to state that as well. If you want to have more people coming and getting tested for HIV, you want to list that as well. And so you have to be very specific in what your goals are in order for you to know what to achieve and how to measure them, okay? And the call to action. The call to action, we talked about, okay, what's going to be the call to action? Is the call to action is going to be for them to come and make an appointment? Is the call to action is going to be for them to give you the name of email or email address? Is it for them to call you? Is it for them to actually click here to actually gather more information? You have to tell your audience what they need to do. Once they actually are reading the information that you want them to read, you got to tell them what actually they need to do next. And so the call to action is very important. And finally, then we talked about the one-page site, which is the landing page, right? So you're creating a campaign, and let's suppose that you actually create a campaign about PrEP. And so, you know, if you create a landing page, a one-page site in which you're describing exactly what PrEP is, you're describing who should be the one actually getting PrEP. You describe it in terms of why they should actually care. If you sort of establish a frequently asked questions section in which is pretty much answering all the questions that your audience might have about that, that is a way for you to educate your audience using that specific landing page. It's one page. There's no navigation. We talked about that. There's no navigation menu. So we don't want your audience to be distracted. We want them to actually concentrate on the message that you want to deliver. And so as you do that, you know, you use this landing page for them to sort of actually gather all that information. And as they're gathering that information, you want to be able to capture their attention, and you want to be able at the same time for them to actually do that call to action, right? Whether it's your call you, whether it's actually set up an appointment, whatever that is. But that's the purpose of the landing page. You want to be able to walk them through and why they should be interested about the services that you provide. So that's basically what this is all about. And so, you know, I just wanted to sort of actually give you a summary of what we talked about and set the tone for what the next presentation is going to be. All right. And so I'm going to actually turn it back to Steve. So Steve will actually do the presentation for the next speaker.
Okay. Thank you, Carlos. Our speaker today is Scotland Huber. Scotland is a health communicator, visual storyteller, and director of communications for Codman Square Health Center in Dorchester, Massachusetts. Scotland serves on the advisory board of Codman Squared, a nationally recognized partnership of health and education between Codman Square Health Center and Codman Academy Charter Public School. Scotland has been a social media consultant for Gordon College and Suffolk University. In addition to his work in the healthcare field, he operates a successful photography business, Give and Take Pictures. Scotland is a graduate of the Massachusetts Institute for Community Health Leadership, and he received his BA in philosophy from Gordon College. Please join me in welcoming Scotland Huber.
Thank you, Steve. It's a pleasure to be here with you all today. First off, I just want to thank MyAttack and the Partnerships for Care grant for putting this all together and for inviting Codman Square Health Center to participate. It's a great honor to be able to be here and share with you all some of the ways that we've implemented our social media strategy and approach. And then also, I really hope to serve as a resource for those of you who are just getting started with your social media strategy. As someone who's been doing this work for about 4 or 5 years at Codman Square Health Center, I want to be a resource to maybe answer some questions or assist you as you're beginning to work through your concerns. So we're going to go ahead and get started here. So the agenda, Carlos did a great job kind of summarizing some of the main objectives that I'm going to walk us through today. So I want to be respectful of everyone's time, so I'm not going to repeat what he's kind of said here. But I do want to mention at the onset that I will be taking questions throughout the presentation. So if things come up as you're seeing slides, there's things that I'm not touching on that you have a question about, please feel free to fill out that question in the chat box and send that over, and then we can try and address that question once I get through the slide. But I do want you to be thinking about your concerns and questions that you have about implementing a social media strategy at a community health center. You know, what are the barriers that you see or the things that have been holding you back, or those items that you're not sure how to tackle? Those are the questions that I want to be able to try and answer, or at least start to deal with you. Social media is a fast-paced, quickly changing industry. Best practices are always a moving target to some extent. We'll talk a little bit about that. So the health center is where we've done quite a bit of work on social media, but we're still learning and still improving our brand and the strategies that we have as well. So just to give you a little context, Cobman Square Health Center is a community health center in Dorchester, Massachusetts. Dorchester is a neighborhood of Boston. We serve about 22,000 patients at the health center and have a number of different services here at Cobman, you know, primary care, including family medicine, internal medicine, pediatrics, maternal and child health. And we also have an urgent care department, as well as dental, eye, and behavioral health, lab, radiology, nutrition. And then a number of different integrated services that we do try and integrate with primary care, whether it's behavioral health or nutrition or substance user health services. And then we have our HIV services, which we're fortunate enough to be recipient of the P4C grant and have really been grateful for that funding to help expand our services and the HIV work that we're able to do here. Specifically, one of the biggest pieces of that has been the addition of a walk-in HIV and STD clinic that we have available 4 days a week at the health center. Cobman's brand is known as a health center that rides on partnerships. We have a few unique partnerships. One of them was mentioned in my introduction with Cobman Academy Charter Public School, which is a unique co-located school on our campus. And that partnership has enabled us to think about health and education working together to deal with poverty and other issues in the neighborhood. We also have close partnerships with a fitness gym called HealthWorks Community Fitness in the neighborhood, as well as Daily Table, which is a local nonprofit grocery store. But we really pride ourselves on the community partnerships that we have. We have over 300 employees at the health center as of today. You can see some of the demographic information of the patients that we serve in front of you. 87% identify as Black or African American, 7% as Hispanic, 5% as white, and 1% as Asian. And of those patients, 22% are best served in a language that's other than English. Our primary patient demographic that speaks a language other than English is Haitian Creole, and we also have a growing Spanish-speaking population. You can see the number of our insured patients there. We actually have a 20%, this is the most recent data that we have of our patients, 20% uninsured rate, which is dramatically higher than the Massachusetts rate. And then you can see, based on the reported incomes of patients that we have, the vast majority are at or below the poverty line. Now you have a sense of kind of what, where Cobman is, who, a little bit about maybe who we're serving. And typically, the best approach to dealing with social media is not to think about social media as an isolated element in a marketing or outreach strategy or even customer service strategy, but to place it within the context of everything else that you're doing. I'm going to be kind of using this POST strategy, which is an acronym that stands for People, Objectives, Strategy, and Technology. Now, it's designed to be somewhat chronological. As you move through each of those stages, as you're doing an analysis of how you're going to approach decisions around marketing and outreach. But we're going to blur the lines with that a little bit, but I want you to just have that framework as we approach this, thinking about P people first, then objectives, then strategy, and then technology. I know that Carlos has done a great job of kind of laying some of the foundation for thinking about goals and thinking about strategy, and I know you've heard a lot about that already. So I don't want to spend too much time throughout this presentation just emphasizing the importance of laying that strategy down first. But that's an integral part of really having a success is knowing where you want to go and then and using the technology that's going to kind of to get you there. So as a full disclosure, as we think about the health center here, the health center started out on social media before working through this strategy. So this was kind of done in the post years after the health center had developed a Facebook page and a Twitter account. And so we've been adjusting along the way, but and we'll also talk about how to do that. But why do we invest in social media? And I know probably if you're listening to this webinar, you know that social media has a lot of value. You know that there's a huge number of people that are on social media. But just to give us, you know, that context, this is the most recent data that I was able to pull, you know, over 190 million U.S. active users on Facebook, 70 million on Twitter, 67 on Instagram. And those are obviously just three of the many different forms of social media. But the important question is just like Carlos was saying, talking about the audience, is thinking about the people that you're trying to reach or you're trying to serve at your health center and really getting a good idea of what they're using, what they respond to, where they're spending their time, if they're on social media or not. Codman, for a number of years, had made assumptions around what social media channels our patients were using or those in the community were using. And we just recently started implementing a survey to get a good sense of where our patients are at. So this data is actually from the end of last summer. So it's almost a year old. So these numbers are probably changing, but we'll be doing this survey again soon. But as you can see with this, 47% of our patients look to social media to get their news and information. That was second on our list of our survey behind TV, which had 64%. So above newspapers, above radio, social media was number two for our patients. And then this graph here, you can see the number of patients who are on the different forms of social media that we asked them about. And actually, these numbers do pretty well reflect the percentages if you break out those millions of users on Facebook to the U.S. population. These numbers aren't actually too far off that. So we do have a sense that our population, even though our population doesn't reflect the overall U.S. populations as far as race and income, the habits as on social media is fairly consistent. So we know that 62% of our patients are on Facebook. We also know that 62% of our patients use the internet every day, and 65% of them use their mobile phones to access the internet. Some national data that I was actually pulling at the end of last week, we're now in the U.S. have 69% of American adults are using some form of social media, and 77% have mobile phones. And the reason why I mentioned that, and I know that this has also been discussed, but the mobile technology is a critical piece when we think about social media, is we know that vast majority of people that are on social media are using their mobile phones to engage with it. And so if you're thinking about your website or where you're going to be driving traffic from your social media accounts, being aware of how mobile compatible your website is a key part of that. So we saw this information and we said, okay, this affirms for us. We know that our patients are on these platforms. We know that Facebook and Twitter and Instagram are good channels to reach the patients in our community. And this led us to starting an Instagram account. We didn't have one at the time of this original survey. And we now have all three of those accounts active for the organization. Once you have a sense of what the people in the first stage, what your audience is, where they are, then you can start thinking about your objectives. So these are objectives that are actually taken from a book called Groundswell, which I would recommend. If you haven't done much reading or you want to have a pretty easy read about how to use technology to reach customers, Groundswell, it's about 5 or 6 years outdated now, but the concepts behind it are really helpful. And that's where I'm drawing these points here. Because it's really important to, as Carlos has mentioned, to set these objectives so that you can really guide your strategy and make informed decisions about where you're going to invest with social media. So 5 big buckets to think about if you're setting some objectives is listening. And listening can take multiple forms, but it's really a way of paying attention to what people are saying about either your specific health center or maybe health in the community that you're in, or maybe your competition on social media platforms or on the web. And it's a posture of learning and really being attentive to what is going on. There are a number of different ways to do that, but again, if your organization feels like they're a little bit out of touch with maybe what your patients are saying or what people in the community are saying about you, this could be an important objective that you could incorporate into your strategy or into the way you're approaching social. Talking, and this is not shouting, this is talking, it's having a conversation. I think it's important that we don't lose the first term in this of social and social media. Social media is not intended to be just a microphone for you to shout at the people in the community, the people you're trying to reach, to just constantly be throwing information at them. But it's designed to be a social platform about building relationships, about building trust, about having conversations. These are key pieces when you're thinking about what are you posting and how are you using your social media accounts. If you're simply just scheduling a bunch of content and pushing stuff out there about who you are, you're missing a huge part of what social media is. It's really important to give that one-to-one interaction, to give that access to people, and to talk back and forth. Energizing. This can be maybe a more dangerous objective, but especially if you know that you have a lot of patients or people in the community who are enthusiastic about your health center, trying to provide ways to energize them online so that you aren't the only one talking about you. Get your patients to review you on different social media websites. Get your patients to tell their own stories. Instead of you being the one with the voice, help to amplify the word of mouth about your health center. Supporting. This is about providing some customer service and a different kind of access to your health center over social media, and trying to get your patients to support one another. There's some tricky elements to this, which I'll touch on for health centers and in the healthcare industry in general, but I think there's some great elements to this that we can incorporate and that that Cobin has been trying to incorporate as well. And then lastly, embracing, which is really about trying to get that customer feedback and implement that. So not just listening to what customers are saying, but actually getting them as shared stakeholders and idea generators for your health center and engaging them on that and helping them to engage with each other to really learn how to prioritize their suggestions and implement them. So these are just different buckets or ways of thinking about trying to maybe shape some of your objectives or some of the things that you are looking for. Obviously, this is not an exclusive list. There are additional things that you can think through, and it's important to align your own organizational goals and objectives with what you're doing on social as well. But these are some help. This is a helpful framework for maybe some of the ways you can incorporate the technology. I know that also SMART goals were discussed previously. And as you take these objectives and begin to think about strategies and goals from them, you do want to really incorporate those lessons around how do you create a SMART goal that will ultimately lead towards your brand being one that's known as a brand that, that talks or that, that supports or that embraces. So knowing also the limits and the risks of social media is really important. Now, I'm not an expert on HIPAA, but it is important to have a good sense of where the limitations are with HIPAA and social. When social media was first rolled out in Boston, there were a number of different healthcare organizations that had, they were very careful around social media because of concerns around HIPAA. There's been a lot of development, and there's some really good guidelines. The CDC even has some good guidelines for making sure to be aware of HIPAA guidelines for healthcare organizations. But you want to make sure that, that you think through that and think through any of the possible risks of being on these platforms and the ways that you, the things that you post or the ways that you interact with patients or community members on them. There's a couple links there that link to some compliance, some guidelines that can be helpful. I believe you'll be getting these slides to be able to access that. Assessing next steps, I know that Carlos has gone over a social media audit and doing that currently at your organization. I think as you begin to set some of your objectives and think about what you're trying to do with technology, with social, you want to have a good sense of where you are and where your organization has been historically. And starting to think about which channels might be best to meet the objectives that you've set out. It's also a good practice to really survey your competition, whether that's other community health centers. Although we know we work together closely, they are on some level the competition, or at least you can see what some of them have been doing, or if it's other healthcare providers in your area. But see how they're engaging with those in your community on social. They're already setting certain standards within the community around what people are beginning to expect or look for with those healthcare providers on social media. And so you want to be able to see what the competition is doing. And then learning from successful influencers. So looking for some strong social media presence, accounts that you can, you know, begin to follow and try and learn from them. Learn from the things that you see that they do successfully, that you can try and possibly implement at your health center, ways that they maybe ask questions or the certain kinds of content that they post or certain times of day that they post, but learning from the ways that they are engaging with social media. We kind of mentioned this already, but website infrastructure. So again, thinking about where you're driving your traffic. I know Carlos talked about a strong landing page, but really when we start thinking about the return on investment of our social media strategy and whether we're actually, you know, moving towards these objectives that we have, we need to figure out ways that we can measure what we're doing. And our social media analytics are going to give us certain measuring points and a certain amount of data. But ultimately, we want to be able to not just get somebody to our website from social media, but get them to do something on our website potentially or make that call. And you want to think about if your site is going to be mobile friendly, if the call to actions or the information they're getting when they're getting to your site is really clear and follows what they would expect when they clicked on that link. Because if not, your social media analytics might be good, but you're not actually going to be converting those visitors into a potential patient because they can't find the information once they get to your website. So it's important to think about the website infrastructure. Now, it's not a necessity to begin social media strategy to have a mobile-friendly website, but for many reasons, it's good to begin to move in that direction, not just for social media strategy, but again, incorporating these things into what you're thinking about your overall objectives is going to be critical. So strategy. So we're trying to set up a strategy here. So once we know the people and we have selected kind of what our objectives are, the ways that we want to make an impression or the overarching aim of our social work. you want to have a strategy for how you do that. Some of these elements here are more general strategy pieces. So having that consistency in tone or design, consistency in how you're looking at analytics, what you're measuring, when you're measuring it, especially if you're dealing with multiple accounts, you want to find ways to look at the analytics so that you can, if you're having multiple staff or whoever is participating, you want to just have a consistency in the ways that you're measuring. Having multiple channels or multiple accounts on a channel is really ultimately should be decided by the objectives that you set out. There's differing opinions on ways to go about this. There's a lot out there that you can read. Codman has made the decision at this point in time to keep primary account under our brand. We do have a couple other accounts on some channels that directly underneath the Codman Square Health Center brand. They have a slightly different branding. But again, this should be driven by what your objectives are and how you can use the strategy of maybe creating a separate account to meet that objective. And then a key thing, at least an experience that we've had here at Codman, is getting the organizational buy-in, which for us has been somewhat of an uphill battle to really get the whole organization to buy into the value of social media and also the ways that it can play into organizational objectives, customer service, and reaching the community. And then understanding and eliminating the risks. Again, that's something that's going to really help with organizational buy-in, is a clear understanding of what the risks are for starting a social media account and trying to engage patients or people in the community on social media. But if as much as you can, that you can eliminate those risks or set guidelines and policies to help mitigate those, that's going to really increase your ability to get organizational buy-in. But overall, you don't want your social strategy to be set by an intern or a new hire who's kind of low on the totem pole. You really want your executives involved in setting these strategies. You want the ultimate decision makers for the objectives to be seated high up in the organization. If you can ensure that, it's going to give you a lot more flexibility with what you're doing with your strategy, and will help to mitigate any issues that you could potentially have down the road. So failing fast is terminology that a lot of folks in the tech industry like to use. New technology, social media, has a number of different meanings. It is a philosophy that's had a fair amount of critiques, and I'm not here to promote the failing fast philosophy, but I do think that something that is valuable that comes out of that is the sense that making some mistakes with social is expected and a given and is okay. About you have those analytics and that data in real time so that you can change course as you need to. Being able to embrace that and understand that, hey, you might start a Twitter account and spend some time developing content and put it out there. And after a couple months, decide, hey, this isn't working. We know our patients are on Twitter, but they're not engaging with our account there. So we either need to stop this Twitter account or we need to totally adjust the strategy that we're using here to reach people. And understanding that, you know, failing is okay, but we want to do it quickly and use the analytics so that we know if we're really working towards those objectives or not. And also knowing that you can test different kinds of content and messages. Again, back to the best practices for various social platforms. There's a lot out there, and it does help to get educated on ways, the different types of content or different times of day to post, the frequency of posting. A lot of different experts out there that will tell you some conflicting information around that. But you really need to test it on with your audience, with who you're trying to reach, and see what ultimately is going to work towards your objectives. And again, relying on those analytics to make decisions. And especially if you're new to social media analytics and you're new to looking at that data, you might not know what is good and what is bad. You know, how many likes should I get with a post, or how many engagements is acceptable to be successful? And those numbers do vary depending on, you know, what you're trying to do. And so coming up again with those objectives and the strategies to know how you're going to be measuring these things is really key or you can quickly get lost in trying to develop things and not knowing how to measure them and whether it's been successful or not. Developing content, I think, is an incredibly key part of this. So once we have our audience, we understand where our audience is, we kind of set some of the objectives and started thinking about strategies of where, which channels, how frequently, I've thought about the different risks, and now we're to the point where we need to put out a message. Those of you that do marketing work know the most important thing above everything is the message. And so how do you have a message that is going to resonate with your audience? Ultimately, you want your objectives and your audience to decide what you're going to be posting. So you might have an idea that you want to tell everyone in the community about, you know, the new walk-in clinic that you have for HIV testing, and you want everyone to know about this, and so you're going to post about it. But maybe your audience doesn't want to hear about that. They're more interested in nutrition, or they're more interested in, you know, what the local sports team is doing. And so if that's the case, then how can you incorporate those things into your content in some way but still get your message across? It does require a lot of creative thinking, a lot of time, which I know working for a community health center, we don't always have. And so it can be a learning process of trying content and seeing what works. It really helps to think in a series, thing that we really tried to start implementing more and more at the health center, especially as we think about developing content. How do we set certain themes for days of the week? Trying to come up with basically series that we can easily develop content more frequently so that we don't have to be straining day to day trying to come up with something to post. I know that you've talked about consistency and how key that is to having a social media account. If you're not posting to it, then it's not doing you any good. But it's also important to know that just putting up bad content is not going to help. Posting just to post is not going to get you to your objectives. It's really thinking about, you know, how do you develop some sort of consistency, but providing content that adds value. It's a good practice on most of the social media platforms to repost content from partners or industry leaders and influencers. It's a good way to build relationships with others, is to share their content. It's also a good starting place, depending on what your objectives are. As you're building trust and you're building your brand on social, maybe your brand is simply, a place where people can go to know what's going on in your community that you're serving. And it's not so much always about your services, but about what's going on in your neighborhood or your city or town. And then your brand will be associated with good up-to-date information on the neighborhood, and that's a strong association for your brand to have. But thinking about those different social media accounts from industry leaders or influencers that you can connect with, follow, and learn from it, and repost. And knowing what not to post, again, bad content. You do not want to be posting just to post. This can vary, but this comes out of your objectives. If something that you want to post sounds great, but it's not going to get you any closer to any of your objectives, and that should be an easy. And then one thing that you'll learn as you observe your analytics is certain forms of content or certain times of day that just really aren't successful with your audience, and trying to stay away from that. Especially the way that Facebook is working now is that with their Facebook pages, they are actually really penalizing pages that post too much content that's not getting a good response. So if you post once a day, you're going to get a higher impressions, even if that content isn't that great, than if you post six or seven times a day and nobody's really commenting or liking that content. So you want to be careful that the way that they're looking at that is they don't want to be spamming. So it's really looking at what's successful, looking at those analytics, and trying to use your objectives to guide what you're posting. So I wanted to give you an example of something that the health center has used in one of the ways that we try. And there are varying opinions about how much your different accounts should or shouldn't look like each other. You do want to add value to somebody who follows you on Facebook versus somebody who follows you on Twitter. You don't want it to be the exact same content all the time. But knowing the reach of your different channels and who would be reading those or not can give you a sense of whether you should be maybe reposting certain things, the different accounts, or through your other channels. So this is an example of the newsletter at the health center and extracting a story for our Instagram from our newsletter. So yes, we send out our newsletter to our email list and we have it available printed in the health center. Right there in front of us, we've got some nice pictures that we were collected as part of this newsletter. That out with a nice quote from the article itself. And it was a well-liked post that we put up on Instagram. So something like that is a great way to use content that maybe you're developing for blog or for another publication for your health center that you can then just incorporate into a social post. So budgeting is something that I actually hear from folks a lot, especially within community health centers that I talk to and work with around the Boston area. And they're always talking about how do we budget well for social media strategy. The biggest cost that Codman has faced has been with staff time. We are fortunate now to have two full-time staff members that do marketing and communications. And so we now operate with about a 20-hour staff time between the two of us. Can vary a little bit around that to manage our three primary accounts. But there are ways to shave time off of that and to focus more specifically on certain accounts. And obviously, depending on the experience or what your objectives are, how much content you're trying to put out there, how much you're trying to respond, those numbers can change. But I think being mindful of the cost of the staff time that you're investing in your social accounts is really important, especially when you think about the return on the investment of your social media accounts. You know, if you're having a staff member or even a volunteer spend hours and hours and you're not seeing a good return on that, then you really want to reevaluate. But social media is not free. People, I think, like to think about social media as a free option to just shout out all their information to the neighborhood. It doesn't function like that. The algorithms that Facebook and Instagram are running now really is declining the organic reach. They want you to spend the money on their platforms to advertise. And so it is getting harder and harder to simply use organic reach to reach even those that like your page or follow your page. Unless your content is highly shareable or well-liked, they want you to put dollars behind that. So understanding, you know, again, what your objectives are and how much money you want to put behind something and being able to decide, you know, has this been successful to really come into the health center or to come and get an HIV test or to call us, et cetera. There's lots of great free tools that can assist you with managing your account. This is just a short list here for developing things. If you're not familiar with Hootsuite or TweetDeck, both of them are social media management tools. Hootsuite does have a free version for a few accounts. TweetDeck is specifically just for Twitter, but it is free and you can manage multiple accounts there. We found them to be very helpful at Codman for managing our accounts. They allow you to schedule posts as well as search through some of the different direct messages or search the channels themselves for keywords. Those are very helpful tools. Canva is a way to, if you don't have a designer on staff or somebody who is able to do much design work, Canva is a free service that allows you to create some graphics with text overlaid. It's pretty easy to learn, and it's a nice way to add some visual content if you don't have anyone on staff that's already producing a lot of visual content for you. It could be used on any of your channels, Facebook or Twitter or Instagram or LinkedIn. So that's another nice free tool. And PictoChart has a free component to it as well, and that's to kind of create infographics that you could also use on your channels. But again, a scaled and strategic effort is the best. So thinking about your objectives and, you know, is it worth to have three accounts or to be on two different channels? Especially if you don't have the staff time or you're not seeing any return on posts, you're not seeing the engagement that you had hoped, or you don't have the budget to spend much on sponsored posts or advertising, then really thinking about where can you scale back and just use some specific accounts or strategies that won't be as costly or as time dominating. So I wanted to just give you a little bit of a sense of some of the objectives and strategies that Codman has been working on for 2017. So we're really trying to have a basic talking objective. So we want to have a two-way dialogue. We're trying to really create a two-way dialogue more and more on our social. Our social was developed as many different places tend to be, as kind of just a shouter. But we're really trying to create more conversation, respond to people, and provide content that can create some conversation. And we're looking to do that through just growing engagement on our Facebook. And we're hoping to see more engagements per week there on our Facebook through our content. And then we developed an Instagram account knowing that our audience was there, and we're trying to build that by posting content there. And then we've been working on developing a campaign we're calling Nourish Codman that's focused on nutrition. It's going to be a combination of different facts and some short videos, and we'll be rolling that out across our social media platforms. And we're hoping that those kinds of that content will also create some conversation. We have got a lot of some good questions as part of that campaign. And then we're also focusing on supporting. So really trying to engage with people who are talking about us on social media platforms, responding to reviews, monitoring if people are tweeting about us. Maybe they are not tagging us, but they're tweeting about the health center, and trying to engage with them and give them some good customer service. And knowing the limitations of what we can and cannot say on social, and we don't want to be having medical conversations, but we want to be providing an opportunity if somebody is trying to get in touch with us, they're trying to get an appointment, or they're having a frustration, that if they go to social media, they know that they're going to get a response from us immediately, and we're going to give them some good customer service. And this is some of our ongoing content that we use to guide some of the things that we're developing. So we kind of have a health tip Tuesday, compiling that content ahead of time. There is a lot of good information out there about editorial calendars to keep you organized and to plan out your content so that you're not doing it all on the day of or even the week of, but thinking further out and how can you plan. You know, if you need to get health tips for the year, how do you go about collecting that information? And then Women's Health Wednesday, we have about 60% of our patients are women. And if we look at our demographics that are following us on our social media platforms, it tends to skew even slightly above that, so even more heavily towards women. So we want to engage those that are on there and talk about women's health. It's also a big element of our annual fundraiser that we do. And then doing a Throwback Thursday, or TT, so kind of having something that's throwback. We found that content to be really well engaged on our social media. People like to see older pictures. And then Friend Fridays, so highlighting our different partners. It also helps to expand our reach so we can hopefully get them to share our content with those that are following them. And then our HIV campaigns are My Sexual Health Matters and Codman is Prepared. We use those hashtags to kind of promote some of our sponsor posts on some of the different HIV program advertisements that we've been doing, as well as trying to have some conversation around that, which we really haven't implemented quite as of yet, but we use those hashtags for our HIV services. And then those of you that are on social at a community health center, hopefully you know the Value CHCs hashtag, which is a national campaign for community health centers. It's a great way to connect with your fellow health centers throughout the country. One thing to note, actually, on that last slide, and I've kind of mentioned this before, but when you're thinking about influencers or your partners, building lists of those accounts so that you're able to repost that content really easily and access that content easily is really, really helpful. So this is just an example of some of the advertisements that the health center has run recently. These are all Facebook ads that we ran. Some of them were specifically for our HIV campaign, some of our HIV services, and then as well as just a general campaign to try and get more folks in the neighborhood to like us on Facebook and to see us as a supplier of resources and information for their family. every campaign that you run, you're going to have a different cost and you're going to have a different objective for that campaign. For these campaigns that you're seeing here, some of them were as expensive as close to $4 and almost 30 cents per click through, and others were less than 50 cents. So there's a number of different things that influence that. But it's important when thinking about the content that you're going to put out there or the stuff you're going to sponsor to be conscious of how much you're willing to spend and what the value is of somebody seeing that content, and if it's worth it for you to put it out there on social. So again, thinking about the sustainable use of social media, I know I understand it's a challenge. A lot of us in community health centers wear a number of different hats or are constantly maybe more reacting than working strategically sometimes, or at the very least working with less resources. And so when you think about your objectives and what you're trying to do, you want to be realistic with how you can sustain those strategies. So maybe it's focusing only on one or two of the social media channels, even reusing content. Especially as you're looking at your analytics, you can see what the reach is of your content. And if you're only getting, 30 impressions for something that you shared, but you have 500 people that are following your account, then you know that you could share that again. And most likely they'll be seeing it for the first time. And having a sense for how much you can reshare content and reuse it on the different platforms is very helpful and can give you a seemingly double or triple your content just by reusing it. Dividing up the workload. If you have multiple staff that you can involve with your accounts, they can help to manage it, then that will make a big difference for the sustainability of what you're doing. Particularly if you have the best practices and policies in place, then you can really recruit and involve different staff to be involved in the management of the content. And you can divide up that workload across the different areas. Again, as I mentioned before, we decided at Codman to have all the departments work out of one handle on our Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. And so we push out all of our content through our main health center account. But depending on the size of your organization and your staffing, some places will have multiple accounts so that they can reach more specific audiences, engage audiences, maybe just around HIV care and the work that you're doing with HIV. And then utilizing interns to maybe create content or build your editorial calendar, build some of that content ahead of time or respond to comments. Definitely don't recommend interns being the driver of your social media strategy or making higher level decisions. But as far as using some of those objectives that you have to guide those practices that they can adopt, that can be really helpful, to, especially for those that are short on staff or resources. So just as a recap here, social media can pay. There can be real results. We know that those in the community are on those outlets. Codman has seen a lot of reviews and messages that we're able to interact with our patients, specifically on our Facebook page. And there can be great results from different ad campaigns for driving individuals to your website or to specific call to actions. It is an incredibly powerful tool that can really bring a lot of value to your organization and to your patients. But you want to reiterate that post approach, the post analysis to thinking about developing the ways you're approaching social. So knowing where your audience is, which platforms they're on, if they trust the information they see on those platforms, and then knowing what your objectives are and letting those guide your policies, your practices, and not being afraid to fail. And ultimately, using a strategy that crosses all of your brand accounts, so keeping the design consistent, the tone consistent, the way that you're looking at the analytics for the different accounts consistent, and keeping that, again, that consistency with the technology. And for sustainability, you want to try and take advantage of free tools and building content ahead of time, using a focused approach. Less is more sometimes, especially on some of these platforms, and using a strategic content that's thoughtful And it's really addressing specific things in your objectives rather than just pushing things out all the time. So that kind of wraps up the content that I had put together. I'd really love to answer some questions. If there are any questions out there, things that might be helpful for me to talk to, go ahead and put those into the chat box if you have them.
Okay, we have a few moments here to take some questions. If you have any questions, please enter them into the questions pane. Got a couple here. Regarding budget for advertising, based on your experience, what is the minimum you suggest to budget for social media?
So that's a great question. I hate to give an answer of, you know, pointing to your objectives to make the decision, but ultimately that should be the driver, is what you're trying to accomplish. Something like Facebook and Twitter, they're pretty clear with what the reach will be with the dollar amount that you would spend for something. And so you can kind of make an assessment in that way. But with the movement on Facebook and Instagram away from organic reach and the heavier reliance upon sponsored posts, putting dollars behind the work that you're doing is going to make a difference, even if it's a small amount. But it really depends on what extent of the reach you're trying to have. I mean, we've done campaigns that have varied in range from $100 to $500, and those are over varying different lengths of time, whether it's a week or a month. You know, it can vary pretty widely, but having a budget where you have some dollars that you can access on a weekly or monthly basis to do maybe a little sponsored post here or there, especially content that you see is successful with organic reach, adding additional money to that post is actually going to work somewhat exponentially, because you're going to reach more people. And then hopefully, if it's already been successfully organically, then it will continue to be successfully organically. So people who are seeing it as a sponsor post will then maybe like it or share it or comment on it, which is then going to increase its reach even further. That's one of the reasons why Facebook does try and encourage you to use successful content and invest in that successful content.
Okay. And can you speak more to the results you got from Facebook ads you ran? Like, did it increase likes, and what were lessons learned?
Yeah, so we did run a specific campaign to increase likes, which we did see. Without the specific numbers in front of me, I believe it was in the range of around 30 new likes of the target demographic that we were trying to reach over the course, I think, was around 2 or 3 weeks, which we were moderately happy with. We were trying to get more than that. We were hoping for something more like 60 or 70, but we've seen varying results. And one of the things that you can do with your Facebook or other social media campaigns is that you can tweak content real time. Facebook's pretty good about reviewing any changes quickly and getting that content constantly pushed out, so that, you know, if you want to even test an ad for a small amount, say, you know, $20 or $30, and see what the success is. And if it works, then you can put a little bit more money behind it. But rather than just, you know, putting in $500 into an untested ad, you can slowly kind of roll out some money. We did, with our HIV ads that we ran on Facebook, we actually saw a better return on the ads that we ran on our dating apps. So I know that wasn't necessarily part of this, but again, that's part of some of the strategy. Was we were doing some promotions on some dating apps and that are, you know, that can be geographically geared, and we saw a better return on those click-throughs than we did on Facebook. So Facebook, maybe it wasn't the best way to do some of those ads, or at least for those messages. And that was one of the things that we learned with that campaign. But yeah, I think that you want to avoid throwing tons of money at an ad that's untested, and instead, you know, spend a little bit of money on an ad and see if it's catching on, if it's effective. And if it doesn't work, try something a little bit different and see if that works better.
Okay. What are the advantages to having an individual Facebook page versus a business page? Does it ever make sense to have both?
So that's a great question. With the business page, with an actual page, you're going to have a lot more analytics. You're going to have access to a lot more analytics than you will with a personal page. Facebook really has has made it entirely favorable to have a page versus a personal profile for an organization. I don't know what the advantages would be to have a personal page versus a business page. I wouldn't say that that's specifically my expertise to weigh in on that, but I would say that the professional page.
Okay, and how has social media helped in increase the number of participants in your program, such as phone calls, walk-ins, appointments? Can you give an example?
That's a great question, and I wish I had some very clear, hard data on that. Fortunately, I don't have a super clear example of, you know, a campaign that resulted in this exact amount of new patients or new participants. On the analytics side with our social media account, we're able to see who's clicking through and who's coming to our site. And then on our site, those that would maybe click through another link. But we don't have a direct way to actually say it's resulted in five, you know, people joining this program or 200 new patients in this month. I think that we can make some assumptions based off of the traffic that we've seen. And so we don't actually have a great way of giving a hard answer on that, but we do see traffic being driven to our website. And we do see people engaging with us and reaching out to us on social media. Giving that hard result is something that we're still trying to figure out how to be able to do.
Okay. Have you used boosted posts, and what kind of results has that gotten?
Yeah, we've used boosted posts as well. Again, spending a little bit and seeing how the result is. Everything's comes in real time. You want to promote content that you know is going to be the most shareable. So typically, video is the best. We don't do a lot of video at Codman yet, but we do a lot of pictures, and we'll sometimes try and promote photos. But thinking about not just promoting something that makes you look good, but what really adds value to people that you're trying to reach that maybe you can be associated with. If you just think about your own experience and how many times you've seen a sponsored post, and if it's something that's all about how great this organization is, you're not likely to share that unless you work for that organization or you have some deep love for that organization already. But if it's a interesting fact or maybe something that was surprising or funny or maybe a good recipe or something, maybe you might be more interested in sharing that. And so now all of a sudden this shows up on my social media and, oh, that looks like something that I want to engage with or I want to share to the people that, you know, that I care about.
Okay, and have you run any ads on dating apps?
Yes, we have. We have run ads specifically on Grindr, looking to do outreach to men who have sex with men. And we've seen a great return on investment. I don't have those numbers in front of me right now, but it was a better investment than the ad campaign that we did on our Facebook page.
That's all the questions I have right now. Did you have any closing thoughts, I guess, before we wrap it up?
I just really appreciate the opportunity to share with you all. I hope that something that I was able to talk through was helpful as you think about your objectives and strategies to social. And I just encourage you to jump in and to try some things and see how it goes. And know that you can learn along the way, but as much as you can lay the foundation with strategy and objectives and thinking through, you know, those risks and building organizational buy-in is going to really help you in the long run.
Okay, thanks. And Carlos, did you have any final thoughts before we close out here?
Sure. Thank you, Scotland, for your great presentation. I think it's very helpful to sort of actually show grantees what the day-to-day is when you actually are running or managing a social media presence for an organization. So I really appreciate the examples that you gave. You know, I just wanted to answer the question in terms of the Facebook personal page and the Facebook business page that somebody asked, is that, you know, I hope that you were referring to pages versus profiles, because there's a huge difference if we're talking about personal profile and business page. But, you know, just a quick answer to that. When we talk about pages allow us to, Facebook, when we talk about Facebook pages, they give us data. They sort of actually allow us to know who is the people that are seeing our post, who are sort of actually clicking on the likes. And so the pages pretty much are being used for sort of actually to meet objectives from a business point of view. A profile is totally different because everybody, you know, you might have a profile, but you don't get to see, you know, who's actually the age range of the audience. You don't get to see basically whether people are actually watching your content and they're engaging with your content. And so, but from the page standpoint, you get to see that. So for anything that we talked about when we come about social media and organizations, we recommend to have a business page because that's the venue that it will allow you to make decisions based on the data that the page is going to give you. And so you will be able to see whether what you're doing is having results, is producing good results or not. And so from that perspective, I think having a Facebook business page for your organization, for your program, for the services that you're providing makes sense. And whether it's Facebook, whether it's Instagram, whether it's any other social media platform, you want to have a business page there, then you will actually know how your audience is actually, you know, it's how your audience is taking the content that you're producing, whether it's resonating with them and whether you're actually providing value like Scotland mentioned. So that's the only thing that I wanted to mention in regards to that. And again, thank you, Scotland. I think, you know, running ads on dating apps, I've heard other grantees, they actually have got great results as well because their audience is pretty much there. And so it's good to know versus Facebook and Grindr, for example, what kind of results you get based also on the audience that you have because they are two different platforms. So thank you for sharing that. And that's pretty much my closing thought. Thank you.
Okay. And thank you, everyone, for participating in today's webinar. And we hope that you're able to find the information provided useful as you continue your P4C project. Take care, everybody, and we'll see you next time.